Hi again. Our trail is going to head away from the lake in a minute, though it will loop back here. But before we head out into the field, let's take another look at the lake through the trees and think a little bit about it. Ecologically, the lake and surrounding wetlands are the nexus of the property, with the aquatic ecosystem and myriad wetland plants supporting fish, waterfowl, frogs, salamanders, muskrat, mink, otter, and beaver, and the riparian forests supporting a rich range of forest understory plants, mammals such as coyotes, and dozens of species of native songbirds. An oxbow is a particular kind of lake that forms when a river erodes a shortcut between a more upstream bend and a more downstream bend. When this happens, the river abandons the intervening river bend and leaves a low, wet lake in the old abandoned stretch of the riverbed. Our oxbow lake is an especially young one. When the surveyors came through to plat the land in the 1870s, they mapped the oxbow as an active bend of the Snoqualmie River, and one can see from the 1936 aerial photos that it was just beginning to abandon this channel in the 30s. The Snoqualmie River is in so many ways the center of this landscape. The river waters the land and once supported great swamps and forests. Seasonal flooding built the amazing fertility of the lowlands that now support farms and ranches. The river facilitated travel and early settlement, and is home to a wealth of aquatic life, supporting the food chain of the surrounding landscape and the salmon that are so central to the lifeways of native peoples and to the identity of many Northwesterners. Like many of our Puget Sound area rivers, its path is partly defined by the deep geological history we discussed at our first stop. It flows north-south in the folds created by the rumpling up of the Cascade foothills millions of years ago. The shape of the valley, the sediments and soils it runs through, and the quirky hills and dales around it were all shaped by the interplay of the river and another more recent geological force, however, glaciers. From about 2 million years ago until 10,000 years ago, the Earth experienced a long series of cold glacial periods known as ice ages. Each lasted 40 to 70,000 years. Ice sheets formed and spread across the northern part of our continent. During the last episode of glaciation, from about 14,500 years ago to 13,600 years ago, the land you're standing on was plowed over by a giant sheet of ice hundreds of feet thick. If you're still facing the Oxbow Lake, look left up the Snoqualmie River Valley toward Mount Si and the Lower Cascades. Imagine tongues of ice hundreds of feet over your head pushing their way up the Snoqualmie River Valley and adjacent Sammamish and Puget basins, bulldozing up mountains of crumbling rocks and debris, and damming up entire river valleys for hundreds of years. The tongue of ice that came up the Snoqualmie Valley ground to a halt just above the modern town of North Bend. With the valleys north of that dammed by ice, a series of massive proglacial glacier edge lakes, fed by the continued flow of mountain streams and tributaries, filled up the upper valleys. As the waters rose up the valley walls, they overflowed and began to carve connecting channels to adjacent parallel valleys, so that the water from the Snoqualmie Valley cascaded over to the Sammamish Basin, and from there across to the Cedar Lake Washington Basin, draining west from valley to valley along the edge of the glacial terminus, and eventually out to the ocean via the Chehalis River Valley. The channels carved by these glacial waters remain in our landscape, echoes of this cataclysmic but temporary reorganization of the region's rivers, kind of a geological secret code. If you drive up the Preston Fall City Road along the raging river, or along Highway 202 and Patterson Creek, or up I-90 between Issaquah and Preston, you're following the channels carved by these waters as they sought new routes to the sea around the blocking ice. As the glaciers began to recede again, glacial meltwaters and glacier marginal rivers deposited deep, sorted strata of sand and gravel, forming hills and hill slope formations called cames, like the gravelly hillside you can see across the highway, further to your left, now. These valley wall deposits now provide the materials that support gravel mining operations such as Cadman Industries' High Rock Mine near Monroe, which sits upon the High Rock Came Complex. Okay, let's move on, keeping to the left branch of the trail that heads back toward the entrance road where you came in, and we'll stop at stop 3 out in the field near the gravel entrance road.